the April 5th County Council meeting to order. First thing, approval of the agenda, Mr. Baker.
Yes, I would like to suggest that we delete the executive session items, executive session, and then possible action on executive session.
Yes, you will, George.
Don't need executive session? Okay.
Wow. Anything else from the council? Entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Any question on the motion?
Yep.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. In our packet this week, we got the minutes from March 22nd. Any questions, corrections on the minutes? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first letter is from Sally, and it appears to be Hoyer. I am writing this letter to thank the Sussex County Community Development for the great job they did on repairing my mobile home. The home repair grant has made a huge difference in the condition of my home. This program's a good thing for people who live on a small slash fixed income, and I hope the program's continued. The second is from Eve Aldred, MD, Sussex County Science Fair Steering Committee Co-Chair, and it's from Promoting Science Research by Delaware Students. Dear County Council, I'm writing to thank the council and express our great appreciation for the very generous support you gave to the 19th annual Sussex County Science Fair. Over 125 students from Sussex County Middle and High School showcased the research and scientific investigation that they had done during the school year. 30 volunteer judges with backgrounds in a variety of scientific fields, including doctors of medicine, physics, and environmental science, had the difficult task of reviewing projects, interviewing students, and discerning which ones merited awards and the opportunity to go on to the regional Delaware Valley Science Fair. In addition, representatives from several Delaware business and organizations were present to give out special awards. Thank you for your generous support. And that is all.
Anyone counsel anything? Correspondence. Mr. Baker.
Yes, good morning. The first item of business here is proclamation for National Library Week. And with us today, we have Ms. Carol Fitzgerald, our library director. I'll read the proclamation while she's coming up. Proclaiming the week of April 10th to April 16th as National Library Week, whereas libraries everywhere play a vital role in supporting the quality of life in their communities, whereas libraries provide free access to all from books and online resources for families to library business centers that help support entrepreneurship and retraining, whereas our nation's school, academic, public, and special libraries make a difference in the lives of millions of Americans today more than ever, whereas librarians are trained professionals helping people of all ages and backgrounds find and interpret the information they need to live, learn, and work in a challenging economy, and whereas libraries are places for opportunity, providing programs that teach all forms of literacy, promoting continuing education, and encourage lifelong learning, and whereas in times of economic hardship, Americans turn to and depend on their libraries and librarians, and whereas libraries, librarians, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims National Library Week April 10th to 16th, 2011, encourages all residents to visit the library this week to take advantage of the wonderful library resources available. Communities thrive at your library.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Carol Fitzgerald, the county librarian. Last week, we celebrated the 5th anniversary of our statewide library catalog that has probably now close to 2 million records of materials that are available statewide for any of you with a library card. Next week, we will celebrate National Library Week with libraries from across the country as we recognize libraries and their importance to our communities. They are community centers. They are places where people go to learn and to acquire information that they are looking for. So we're pleased that you are joining us in celebrating National Library Week. Thank you.
I attended an event celebrating your retirement.
Yes, so did
that
I.
That was lovely.
Yes, it was very nice, and I hope to enjoy it soon.
Okay. All right.
On behalf of the Council of Proclamation, thank you very much for what you do and all that the libraries do.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. It's a close up. Do I need to get down or what?
Okay.
Ship needs to back up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
The next item is a report from Mr. Terry Murphy, who is the CEO for Bay Health, who we met with a few weeks ago as part of our economic development meetings with some businesses throughout the county. And Mr. Murphy agreed to come and just give the council an overview of Bay Health, and we certainly appreciate him.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you for your time this morning, allowing me to present to the council. Instead of being close to retirement, I'm actually 18 months into the job as CEO of Bay Health. So I wanted to reach out to a very important body to share a little bit about what we're doing now and what we have planned, primarily in Sussex County. But I'd like to start off by giving you a sense of the Bay Health organization, just really as background. Our mission is really to improve the health status of the communities we serve. So as you think about hospitals, it's not to take care of the sick. It's really to go where health care reform is going, and that's to keep people healthy, keep people out of hospitals, which is a little different. As background information, of course, we have the Milford Memorial Hospital and Kent General Hospital. Together, there are about 400 beds. We do right now about 18,000 inpatient admissions, close to 80,000 emergency room visits in both of our emergency departments. And our net patient revenue is over $400 million. Now, I also noticed that later on you have discussion about health insurance. And I would say that part of reform will get to the rising cost of health care, which I think is actually much needed, and I'll explain why that is in just a little bit. Number of employed physicians about a year ago was 24. Right now we're over 50 employed physicians, and hospital systems in the country today are just employing many more physicians. In fact, the number of employed physicians have now surpassed the number of physicians that are in private practice because of the economics of running a private practice. And right now, we're actually over 400 admitting physicians. As an employer, last fiscal year, we actually grew the number of employees by close to 5%. And so we continue to grow as the number of people that need health care continues to rise and as the population ages. And right now, we're employing over 3,000 employees. About half of our cost as a system are tied to salaries, wages, and benefits, and our benefit structure equate to about 32% of an employee's pay. And this is just to show the amount of dollars that we spend on an annual basis with statewide vendors in the state of Delaware. And as you may know, we're currently going through a 400,000 square foot expansion on our Kent campus. And as you see there, a majority of those dollars also stay within the state of Delaware. And that will be important as we speak to our project in Milford here in Sussex County. This is really a multiplier. As you think about the number of employees that we bring in, just this week I think we had about 30 new employees coming on with Bay Health. And as we continue to grow, that also has a further economic impact to the communities that we're in. For our Milford campus, as we've stated publicly, we're in the process of expanding by replacing our Milford Memorial Hospital. And I'm not going to bore you with the details, but what this slide generally shows is that a large part of the center part of our building is much older. In some cases, the late 30s, in some cases built in the 1960s. So really, from an infrastructure standpoint, we will be replacing the Milford Hospital. And this slide, I don't know if this light is working too well, but along here is Clark Avenue, which used to be the front entrance of the Milford Hospital. This is our acute rehab unit, one of five acute rehab hospitals in the state of Delaware. And this is currently the front entrance coming off Kings Highway. So right now, where we are is we're doing master facility planning. So rather than building and growing in small pieces around an older part of the building, we're doing long-term planning for this campus that will carry us on this campus for 50 to 100 years. And how we will grow is likely to be more vertical growth. Mm-hmm. We're going through the business assessment right now, determining how many beds. In all likelihood, it would be more beds than what we have now. Looking at how many emergency department bays do we need to appropriately serve the growing community. And from there, we'll go through and do the site assessment and also go through the design of the new hospital. But it won't look anything like our current campus. And many of the older buildings will actually be demolished as part of the process. Just as a quick grounding, and I know my time is probably short, but this slide shows you that the number of Americans who are 65 and older in 2008 was 13%, and by 2030, it will be 20% of the population. And if you think about that amount of growth, no matter what we do in reform, people will need health care, and it's a huge percentage of our population that will require that in the next several years. Actually, this is a slide that I think is indicative of what we see in the country. On the left, this is the obesity rate amongst U.S. adults in 1988. And really, the lighter, if you think about it, is a healthier population. And it really looks at the percentage of the population that is at least 30 pounds over on their body mass index. So you can see the slide in 2008. The darker means more of the impact of obesity in our country. So henceforth, we have many more chronic conditions that we deal with in our industry. And that is also driving a lot of the additional costs that we see. Finally, I just want to mention that our focus in the future will be a little bit different. We'll be managing high-risk populations. Look at where there's a lot of costs associated with chronic conditions and managing those chronic conditions. We'll focus on earlier health interventions, telehome medicine, and tying in with individuals' homes that are at high risk to have a more innovative approach to, again, keeping people out of hospitals. So I appreciate your time. I really want to introduce myself, and if there's anything that I can do for any of the council members as we continue to grow, I'd like to come back and share our more detailed plans of what we're doing in Milford, and I appreciate the time.
Sure.
And I'd be more than happy to answer any
questions. Yeah, the hospital would be staying at its present location, won't be moving eastward.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We've stated that we will, and we've done that site planning, we will be replacing the hospital on its existing site.
Yeah. Okay, it's good news.
Any more questions from council?
Thank
you for coming.
Appreciate
very much.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker.
The next item is Seaford, City of Seaford loan amendment request, and we have received a request from the City of Seaford to amend a loan request, a loan that we have with the city. On April 5th, 2007, the County Council entered into a loan agreement with the city to provide a $250,000 economic development stimulus loan, which was for a period of 10 years with 1% interest. The full faith and credit of the city secures the loan. The purpose of the loan was to fund improvements to the Seaford Sports Complex. The city has also entered into an agreement with the Sussex County Sports Foundation regarding this project. And since that time, three payments have been made as per the loan agreement in 2008, 9, and 10. The city and the Sussex County Sports Foundation have requested a change in the terms of the loan due to the current difficult economic conditions, whereby the project has not proven to be self-sustaining due to the change in the economy. They have requested that the terms of the loan be changed so that the balance, which is $177,594, is paid over 15 years from now versus the remaining seven as per the current agreement, and that the interest be reduced from 1% to 0%. And the loan, the City of Seaford will remain responsible for the loan. They have an agreement with the Sports Foundation to at least partially cover part of the cost. The total monthly payments from the city would be $986.63 or $11,839.61 annually for 15 years. This compares to the current annual payment due of $26,395.55 for the remaining 7 years. We have with us today Mr. Laura Slatcher, the town manager for the city manager for the City of Seaford. If there are any questions.
Any questions?
Do we have any, if we go to 0%, do we have any costs associated with us with this, having this loan, and do we spend any money managing it?
There is some minimal legal cost to amend the documents by the bond attorney to
Who's
reflect the change, and that could be, we could ask that the city pay for that. I don't think it would be a material amount.
Well, yeah, the only reason, yeah, I'm just saying, if we, I don't know if we want to set it, if we set a precedent of you've gone to 0% interest, 1% is awful generous, and then extending it and everything else, but to go to zero and then we have some cost, I was a concern.
And
then if we have other people coming in making similar requests, are we all prepared to start doling out 0% interest?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think under the guise of economic development, it would be a reasonable contribution on the part of the county. We're in a very good position. Economic development in the towns, I think, equates to revenue for us in the long run. I have no problem with us covering that little bit of cost.
And at their suggestion, too, I think, Mr. Baker, was that now it's a yearly payment.
Yes.
And they want to go to paying us monthly.
Yes.
Right. You could earn something on that as you got each month versus at the once a year or something like that. But we're not, I don't think today we're getting much money on our money. I think last Ms. Baker talked, Ms. Webb talked about like 20%, 0.2 or something. I mean, it was, yeah.
0.2.
Almost nothing.
Let's not even talk about
it. We're losing a whole lot doing it that way.
Okay, but if somebody from the, was any of this loaning, money we were loaning, do we have the ability to do it to the private sector also? The same money?
Yes, there was a fund set aside for town economic development.
Towns, okay, so this funds, is only, okay.
And that's what this was funded from.
Okay, so in other words, if somebody comes in, say, from the private sector and says, well, how about these same kind of terms, are we going to be as generous? I'm just
not
afraid
necessarily.
Of, okay.
I mean, this is,
only,
we have,
only for the,
that
only
would
for the towns.
Depend on the individual situation. We have loaned on several occasions to private enterprises which were expanding employment in the
right,
county
right.
in the past, but we have not given 0% interest,
Right. I don't know if we wanted to start that. If we are, if we're only going to do it with municipalities, I can understand a partnership with, like what Vance is saying, and helping out the towns, but I don't want to.
And this fund is for just that purpose.
Yes.
That's where it came from, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any more questions, Mr. Baker?
Well, I think both of them are fair questions, fair statements.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion is if you're going to get everything free, you're going to get the two or at least pay the cost. That's the way I would look at it. If you're going to do something for me free, I said, well, at least I'll pay the cost for you.
You're talking about the cost of having the agreement redone.
Well, Sam, do you want to make a motion then that the town pay the legal cost?
I think it's only fair.
You want to make that as a motion?
That's your motion.
Either that or
I'll second that.
We have a motion to second to make the changes as requested of the city with the understanding that they will pay the legal fee to have their document redone. Any question on the motion?
Will that be financed too?
I'm sorry.
Or paid on the spot?
I think
words.
In the past
lump
they
sum.
Paid. I believe they paid it in a few years ago.
Okay.
When the,
yes.
I would think they'll pay for it.
Yeah. Any more questions on the motion?
Mm-hmm.
Not, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Beckman?
The next item is the administrator's report. And the first item, Delaware State Police report for February. As per the attached report from the Delaware State Police, a total of 3,357 complaints were handled, over 4,000 traffic arrests were made, and 2,375 criminal arrests were made during February. And attached is a copy to the administrator's report. Solar panel project groundbreaking. A groundbreaking ceremony will occur at 9 a.m. on next Tuesday, April 12th, at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. We wish to invite the public to the ceremony for this project, which will save on electric utility costs for the EOC for years to come. And that was federally funded. Substantial completion. The engineering department granted substantial completion to Bay Forest Club Phase 2.1 Area 1 on March 31st. The developers Bay Forest LLC. The project is located on the east side of White's Neck Road and north of Old Mill Road in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Sewer District, consisting of 37 unit residential subdivision. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
While we're on this solar panel.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to know what the solar panels are saving us in rural permits.
Well, they just got hooked up. They haven't saved anything yet, Sam.
Oh, you mean we just not got going?
In Laurel?
Yeah.
Oh, in Laurel. Okay.
I'm sure we can find out.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can find it out. We'll inquire that, Mr. Wilson.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we were... out here, DOC.
No, when did Laurel take the Paramex days last year?
Well, no, I got solar. I didn't know how many solar panels. I admit my mistake, Sam. Please, okay, please don't pick on me.
Next, Mrs. Webb, health insurance renewal.
Thank you. It's time to renew our health insurance, stop loss insurance that goes through April 30th. This is the insurance that covers our catastrophic claims that are over our $250,000 limit. You got a packet that was full of information on health insurance. I know it can be overwhelming, but there's a lot of good information on that. Specifically, the page that tells you our plan year, our specific deductibles, our specific contract, and our stop-loss carrier is one of the things we're going to be discussing today as we are making a recommendation for renewal. And with us today is Dave Smith, president of Integra Administrative Group, our third-party administrator, Karen Brewington, and Bonnie Witten from the personnel office. We start this renewal process, I guess, Dave, in about the end of February. It takes a while to get all the information together, to look at our health insurance, decide how we want to move forward. It is a major cost for us. We look at things that we did in the past and see where our savings are and what we can do in the future, working together with Integra for future savings. Just as the gentleman spoke earlier on Bay Health, health insurance between retirees, prescription drug costs, and employees is very important. And today we're going to talk about our renewal. We're going to recommend that we change carriers, and then what was in your letter and handed out from Integra, things that we have done last year and new implementations for this year moving forward. Dave, if you want to renewal.
Pleasure to again be here before you, Mike, Vincent, to President, and those of the council. It's an honor to be here. Thank you again for allowing us to serve the county employees by providing the administrative services for the employee health plan. as Susan was saying, and just to reiterate, we are paid a fee to administer the health plan for the county and not a commission. And so when we make recommendations for switching reinsurance carriers, it has no benefit to us really one way or the other. It's simply a matter of finance and what is the most economical, and we do the due diligence along with the county fiduciaries to make sure that the coverage is the same as far as the reinsurance, and that those things are taken care of as far as, you know, the ratings of the company involved, those kind of things. So when the recommendation to switch to Companion Life, which is a Blue Cross subsidiary, believe it or not, in the southern states, then we have done our due diligence on that, and it is a sound recommendation. So that recommendation alone will save the county about $193,000 in premium. The current carrier, United Health, has had a rough 3 years, and they've had a 200% loss ratio, came in with a 100% rate increase on this reinsurance. And so that was about $230,000 of increased premium, and we're saving $193,000 below that. So we're picking up quite a good savings relative to that. I think the second page of the notes that Susie gave you is important in that I went back last year and went over the notes that we had from the council meeting and some of the things that were presented as recommendations. One of them was that we pursue disease management with a little more intensity. Unfortunately, that did not work as well this year as we would have liked it to work. Because the plan is voluntary and the employees have the option of being a part of that or opting out of it, the disease management portion of the program only saved about $4,000 overall. The recommendation this year is to become a little more proactive in that. If you recall the notes from last year, the estimates from those who are experts in the area estimate there's at least between an 8 to 18% savings on the people who participate in a disease management. I honestly don't like the term disease management because I think it doesn't have a good ring to it. I have a problem. Basically, I've had a coronary artery problem 5 years ago, had bypass surgery. I get calls, you know, and they say, do you want to become a part of a disease management program? And it makes me offended because I am taking care of myself. I'm watching my cholesterol. I'm doing all those kind of things. And so I think I understand where the employees come from when they get calls and say, hey, we'd like to you know, monitor your health, and we'd like to do this, and a nurse calls and so forth. I think we just need to change the perception of that and to make it feel like it's a partnership between the nurses and the employees, and that it is a private thing between them and their nurse, and that they can use them as a resource, and it will help overall. But it is an educational process, and we don't want it to feel like it's an invasion to privacy. So that's going to take some work. The health benefit waiver, that did work last year. We have, I think, about 11 people who waived their health benefits because of duplicate coverage. There's approximately a $12,000 savings in cost on an average when we realize that the cost to pay claims on one person unemployed during a year is a little over $1,100 to $1,200 a month. And so if we amortize that and we say, well, to insure one person is about $14,000 a year, 11 times 14,000 is going to give you an estimated savings of what that actually saved the county. I didn't take into consideration the incentives, like the time off or financial incentives. The other thing that we emphasized last year was urgent care centers versus emergency room visits. Our average cost of emergency room visits is over $400 a visit. Last year, we tweaked the plan with the Employee Benefit Committee's help to basically encourage the use of urgent care centers. And although that went up dramatically, the savings we feel could be increased even more. And so we want to continue to emphasize the use of urgent care centers where the cost is about $40 to $50 a visit versus $450 a visit. This year, we're looking at some new things, continuing to emphasize the disease management. We've also implemented already a program called One Call it's basically designed to lower the cost of high-cost X-rays like CAT scans, MRIs, and so forth. We've had our first one, and we have a 70% reduction in the cost. And I was just looking at my list, and I'm glad to say that Milford Memorial is a part of One Call, and that's an exciting thing that we have about 22 locations in Lower Delaware and in Maryland that are providing us those deep discounts on MRIs and so forth. A $2,200 procedure just cost $850. So that's a significant reduction in cost, and we'll be trying to encourage employees to use those lower-cost facilities. And that program is called One Call. Our RX contract has continued to save us significant dollars. We were able to negotiate a no administrative fee contract last year with CVS Caremark, and they have also discounted their branded generic reimbursements to the pharmacies more steeply. We've added the specialty pharmacy program. Now, that specialty pharmacy program regulates drugs that are they need some kind of special handling in order to distribute. They either need refrigeration or something special about them. Very high cost. One that you may be familiar with is Embril, which is used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. And the average cost of a drug like that is about $1,200 a script. So we have saved about $18,000 through the program last year. It doesn't sound like a lot, but we're actually determining and finding the people that are using these particular drugs and helping them not to get either too much where it goes bad or too little. It has to be delivered on time and as they need it. So CVS is working very hard to make those drugs manageable and affordable. We also have just gotten approval as the administrator for the early retiree program, which just yesterday has been closed down by the federal government due to lack of additional funding. And what that means is that for employees that are between 55 and 65 who retire early, who have claims in excess of your specific deductible, over 15,000, don't mean in excess of the 250,000, in excess of 15 and below 90,000, we can get 80% reimbursement from the federal government for those. And so they have to qualify, they have to be audited by the federal government, but we can get up to $60,000 back on each. And we have approximately $260,000 of those type of claims that we're processing for you right now. And hopefully they won't run out of money before we get it. So.
And you're right. We did get approval to be accepted into our program or application, and they did just shut it down. So.
Yeah. So we think we were in under the wire because they're not taking new applications, and we just applied for that a few months ago and just got approval. So
good.
Hopefully that's going to provide additional revenue for us. We've also partnered with a company by the name of Advanced Medical Pricing Solutions. AMPS is actually a hospital review organization. And one of the things that we are finding that we're not trying to tell hospitals what they can charge, but we're looking at, you know, things that are duplicate charges, things that perhaps have come through the billing system in error. And AMPS is reviewing those charges and negotiating with the hospitals relative to their billing. So we're doing that. And we are also looking at a company called MDI. MDI got its start with the federal prison system. I don't know if you're familiar with how the federal prisons work, but they have a very difficult time in getting medical care for prisoners. And so one of the things that MDI was able to accomplish was to negotiate contracts with providers, hospitals, lab x-ray, and local physicians to provide those services at a Medicare reimbursement rate, what we call plus. So there's a percentage in addition to Medicare that they reimburse anywhere from 20 to 110% of Medicare allowable charges. And so MDI has taken that experience and has begun to offer it to self-funded groups throughout the country. And they are building customized networks for employer groups that are self-funded. What this really means is that you can get the very best pricing from your hospitals and physicians who are willing to accept Medicare plus a percentage in addition to Medicare. We are hoping to look at that in the very near future with the finance director and the personnel folks and begin exploring the possibilities of that. We were approached by Peninsula Regional Medical Center to partner with them for a lab contract so that employees who are insured and employees and dependents insured through the plans that we administer could use PRMC as a preferred lab in addition to LabCorp. And they gave us the preferred pricing that was necessary to do that. And so in the very near future, we'll be putting them as a preferred lab on the ID cards. And we don't have it online yet because we have to load all their schedules and all those kind of things into our system. And we're anticipating hopefully a July 1 kickoff date for that contract. So that just simply means that employees can go to LabCorp or to PRMC and hopefully to some maybe other hospitals in the lower Delaware area that would want to contract with us to provide those kind of benefits.
So you don't have BB Hospital? BB's not there?
No. Mm-hmm. No. I think that's pretty much the plans that are in place for this next year. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to entertain them and try to answer them for you.
Any questions, Council?
You're talking about reinsurance.
Yes.
What is the upper limit of coverage?
Well, right now, anything above $250,000 mm-hmm. per participant is covered by the reinsurance.
But how high does it go?
What's unlimited limit? Now.
Unlimited?
Yes.
Well,
we're,
one of the reasons
this is,
the
the PPACA, or the Affordable Care Act, is basically we're conforming everything to that effective for this renewal date, which means unlimited coverage, means coverage for dependents to age 26, no pre-existing conditions for dependents 19 or under, automatic enrollment for this group, which is pretty much happening anyway. When they become eligible, an employee is automatically enrolled. So those kind of things are already amendments in the plan will be taking place automatically May 1.
Any more questions, Mr. Smith? Thank you very much. I think you've done a very good job for us, and you're going to save some money for us. And the early retiree and reinsurance is going to help with Mr. Baker. He could retire if he gets some money
yes.
back. Yeah, that's a good thing.
It's a shame they ran out of money, Dave.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't retire like Carol.
Your name was the next one down before they cut it off. Yeah. So.
I do just have a couple of comments to wrap this up. While companion, the cost is increased over our Unimerica, like Mr. Smith said. They had jumped almost double to quote our reinsurance for us, mainly because they had the claim history of where we really were paying less premiums and they were paying more in the reinsurance claims. And then with the other situations where unlimited coverage, Medicaid is not capping you anymore at a threshold, and then the changes of coverage up to age 26 and elimination of pre-existing conditions has caused this to increase. Also, the selection of this carrier was reviewed by our consultant, our independent consultant, IBC, and based upon the level of risk and the cost, he also suggested that we change our renewal to go with companion. And I have a motion, unless there's any other questions.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb? The motion, please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve entering into an insurance agreement with companion to purchase stop-loss reinsurance for the period May 1st, 2011, through April 30th, 2012, for a fixed price of $299,274, and continue the use of Alliance, Inetico, and Health Advocate.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Based on our staff's recommendations, yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And Susie, you're still up.
Mm-hmm.
The first grant today, town grants. Again, we have revisited this. I would make a recommendation that we pay the town grant for Ellendale and Greenwood in the amount of $15,000 for fiscal year, for their fiscal year 2009, because they have not reached their threshold of $20,000 in realty transfer tax. And in that motion, if you could just request that their required financial information needs to come in and their letter before it would be paid. They've been put on notice. So.
I'll make that motion per Ms. Webb's directive.
We have a motion.
A second.
And a second. Any question on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Stoltz?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Dagsboro Church of God.
I gave $250 last year, I believe.
Yes.
That's my motion.
Are we okay with that?
I will second that on the grounds that it is given to the community, and the community is invited.
We have a motion and a second. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I can't vote for this, but I have no problem with giving the money to the organization if it's a community event, but the way it's titled, I just not sure if it is or not. So.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I'm not sure what's wrong with the title, but I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Laurel Independence Day Committee?
That was $500 each for Mr. Phillips and myself last year. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second to grant $1,000 to the Laurel Independence Day Committee for fireworks.
Will I be able to see those fireworks?
Mm-hmm. Sure. If you get close to Laurel. Okay. Be $500 from my account and $1,500 from the Phillips account. Any question on the motion?
That's good for the community, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay.
And me too.
If I can see him, I will be good.
Get close, George. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
BB Medical Foundation?
Now, this is a foundation started by parents of a newborn who died because the hospital evidently didn't have this iStat system, which reads it can analyze blood on the spot instead of having to send it to a lab. Had they had that system, evidently a child might have survived. So it's set up by the parents and the BB Medical Foundation. They have raised, the cost of the iStat system is $7,500, and they have raised $5,375, and they still need $2,125.
So what's your motion?
What's your motion, ma'am?
I would contribute $2,000.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to grant $2,000 on Councilman Deaver's account for BB Medical Foundation for purchase of iStat system. Question on the motion.
Ms. Webb, this does qualify as a nonprofit, I'm sure.
Yes, it does.
Yep. More questions? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Georgetown Chamber of Commerce. This grant is budgeted in a different category, County Council grants, and we budgeted the Delmarva Chicken Festival when it is held in Sussex County, and this year it is. So this is more like an FYI. There is $500 in county council grants budgeted for this.
Okay.
City of Seaford?
Riverfest, if somebody make a motion, $500 from my account.
Second. Motion.
Motion.
Motion and a second.
Second.
Question on a motion. I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Millsboro Little League.
Oh, what did I do last year?
Last year you did $375.
All right. I'll do that again, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to grant $375 to Millsboro Little League for batting cages and equipment from Mr. Phillips' account. Any question on the motion? Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And the Western Sussex Farmers Market.
And last year we did $500. I think that was $400 from me and $100 from Mr. Phillips.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Is there a location
for that?
They have it at the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club out in the front yard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had some questions from the press about getting to the farmers market in Milton. If this is a nonprofit organization.
Yes,
okay. All right. Very good. Mm-hmm.
The one in Milton is heading that way by talking to them, realizing that this will help them out. They're heading that way. Mm-hmm. So
this isn't going to hurt all those little roadside stands that are all your relatives. Those little like squash and tomatoes out there.
Mr. Wilson.
So who gets this money?
the Western Sussex Farmers Market.
Yeah, so who is it, the farmers, or who, what category?
It's the organization, which is a nonprofit, who sponsors the farmers market.
You got something against farmers?
Well, I don't like to say the farmers get any money and they're not getting the money.
No.
Mm-mm. I'm not so
it's
sure.
It's not the farmer themselves, it's the, well, it says the organization.
Farmers, it says the farmers market.
Who wrote the letter, Ms.
Well, they have advertisement, they...
insurance, they got a number of things.
Insurance, there's...
Who signed the letter, Ms. Webb?
This letter is from... And they're here, too. Oh, they are here.
Farmers, okay. You got the biggest welfare up. Group. Biggest
come on,
welfare
down, come
group
on down the podium and explain to Mr. Wilson how I can spend my money doing this.
And it supports agriculture.
It's,
and it's
what your money was.
And it's all kept in the county.
It's in your money.
Most of the criticism is coming from these two farmers.
Yeah.
The farmers are complaining.
The farmers are a little skeptical.
Speak up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. We're a nonprofit.
Are you a farmer's wife?
No.
She's a farmer.
Are you representing the farmers?
I'm a gardener.
And could you give your name and address, please, before
yes.
speaking?
My name is Linda Peters. I live in Seaford, and secretary treasurer of the Western Sussex Farmers Market. And it's an organization that a group of us put together to promote farming and healthy eating in the western side of the county, where we really didn't have this kind of forum. There were a number of farmers markets on the beach side.
Where all the money is.
Yes, and where all the tourists are, yes. But we felt there was a need on the western side of the county where we didn't have this kind of forum. And we provide a venue for small farmers and gardeners and value-added businesses to sell direct to the public. We also have educational and cultural events. Every week we have some music. We have the master gardeners come in and teach people about gardening. We've provided a forum for the local library and watershed allowance people to come in and teach and have fundraisers. And it really is a community event where the people of the community can come in and meet and learn about healthy eating, learn about where our food comes from, meet the local farmers who we want to support. And consequently, as a nonprofit, and in our only second year as startup, we don't have any money. So
we understand that.
Farmers are always saying they're out of money, especially these two. They're always broke.
I'll tell you what I do when I start mine up. I take the money out of my own pocket. That's the difference.
Well, we do have
farmers are.
Yeah, but we're support. We charge a small fee to farmers, but you know, as a startup, we really can't charge them a lot because some of them are really just starting their own local businesses. We do have some of our board members putting money up too. I mean, we're advertising expenses. Our biggest single expense is the liability insurance we have to have for having the public come to the event and buy food.
Right.
And we really just, as good corporate citizen, we really can't skip on those kinds of issues.
Right.
So you're actually starting the market. You're going to sell food out of this market.
Yes.
Farmer's food. Now, I look around, I see other markets. I'm pretty sure we don't give money to those. These are roadside markets, I'm speaking, right? Is that what we got going here?
I think the roadside markets, if I'm correct, Mr. Wilson, they're all for profit.
Well,
they are not nonprofit organizations.
Well, I think that's what these people are going to do.
They're a nonprofit 501c3.
Well, how can you help a farmer if you got a nonprofit?
How can you do what?
How you gonna help the farmer when you got a nonprofit?
Because
you're
the farmer sells his goods. The farmer sells his goods, he makes the profit.
Yes. It's the farmers in the
valley. Wherever he sells tomatoes, corn, and he makes the profit.
Well, these other road stands are certainly open for them to sell
That's correct. That's correct.
I know a lot of road stand market. The farmers sell. In fact, well, that's nice to say, but it's pretty obvious that the farmers aren't going to make the money on this deal, but that's okay.
He sells something, he will.
They will, because we don't take their money. I mean, we don't take the money from the farmers. They make their profit. They give us a small fee.
We'll give him an update on capitalism.
I'd like to see the list of farmers that actually sold to you after this year.
They don't sell to them. They sell to the public.
They sell to the public.
They're creating a venue for the public to come.
Sam, I'll explain it to you.
I know.
And you're doing a very good job.
I'll explain it to you.
I think I'm more knowledgeable of this than you think I am.
Okay.
I know what's going on.
We'll find out.
You need to come to our market.
The market that you don't have.
We will start June 25th, and we do have farmers signed up for it.
I've been to other markets, farmers markets in town here, these things, and they've all actually failed, in a sense of speaking.
The one in Bethany Beach.
I hear Georgetown failed.
Gangbusters.
People does, people, and you, and if you know what the trouble is, you have one day a week and a couple hours. If you don't have to hit that special time, you don't get it. And these other markets are open 7 days a week, 6 days a week, and when they open up in the morning, they know they're going to go get it, and they know when they're going to be there after dark. This is, to me, this is not really not a good deal. But anyway, well, it's up to the rest of the council.
It's great in Lewis.
Any more questions? Thank you for coming up here. Sorry to have you beat up on, but that's... Yeah.
That's okay. We're tough. We can take it.
I'm not really beating up. I'm trying to be honest with you and show you what reality is. That's all.
I understand your point of view, but I think you need to kind of come to our market and see what our point of view is, too.
He needs his horizons widened. We're going to help him.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I move we give $1,000 from Mr. Wilson's account.
Second.
Third.
Now, I retract that motion. $400 from Mr. Vincent and $100 from my account.
Thank you.
Any questions on the motion?
Second.
We have a second. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the support.
That's correct.
Thank you. We do hope to see you at our market so you can see what it's like.
I was there last year. I'll be there this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good thing.
Mm-hmm. Introduction to proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, Mr. President. We have two. The first is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a yoga studio to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.134 acres, more or less. And that's conditional use number 1894 on behalf of Ellen Sanders and Tom Wallow.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, and the second one, Mr. President, is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a private school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.71 acres, more or less. Mm-hmm. It's conditional use number 1895 on behalf of Freedom Worship Center, Inc.
I'll introduce that, too.
Steve, introduce it. Additional business brought before council. Mr. Guy has our sign up, and I think here's two of them you said. Barbara Mullen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Barbara Mullen from Sussex County League of Women Voters. And I'm the voter services chair, and I'm happy today to show that we have the new They Represent You, which was funded by county council. And this year, this is getting more and more popular for the public to find out how they can keep in touch with everyone. And this year we had 12,000 copies. 2 years ago, it was 10,000. Already, even though it was at the printers, we had the Milton town manager is no longer the same name that's listed in here. So occasionally, this does get needs updating. So we intend to put this online at the League of Women Voters website and keep it updated as we go along. And as you know, people are retiring, like Mr. Baker and Ms. Fitzgerald, that we're learning every day. So we need to keep it updated. Our distribution will go out. We plan, you know, to give it out to all the different government offices. 25 town halls we're going to deliver about half a box to each one of them, and there are 14 Sussex County libraries. And I guess that's about all I wanted to say, you know, that we have these now. Also, Rogers Graphics even gave us an extra box.
Oh,
good. So from Georgetown. Mm-hmm. So,
can I make a suggestion? Change the color from time because they're all been the same color for all these years, and I don't know. You know, I reach for one, and I find it's an old one.
You spoke just in time because they said that this is a very, it's a different blue.
Oh,
but I mean, it's still, you know,
still a light
shades
blue,
of
yeah,
yellow,
yeah.
Yellow and blue.
But anyway, I just a thought because
what color?
Well, I don't care.
Suggesting?
No, I don't have. I'm not partial to any color. I'm color neutral.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Thank you very much for doing that project. Yes. We appreciate that very much.
I know Rialta George is colorblind, so it doesn't matter.
My father was.
Might run Carol Jones.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. But they are good to have.
Good to see you.
And the old ones all got George's name in them, right? Thank you very much.
I keep one in my pickup
yes, ma'am.
Truck.
Please identify yourself.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Ma'am, would you please state your name and your address?
I beg your pardon. My name is Carol D. Jones, and I'm a member of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. The League of Women Voters has a vital interest in the redistricting that will occur in accordance with the 2010 census figures. Why should we care, you might ask? Well, how could we not care? The League, from its very inception, has worked hard for open and fair government, transparency in government, if you will, and we want the people of Sussex County to know what's at stake, to educate them and give them an opportunity to have a say in the shaping and redistricting, the redistricting of our county. To that end, the League will sponsor a series of forums, the first of which will be held at the Beebe Medical Arts Building in the conference room on Route 24, Wednesday, April 13th at 1 p.m. We intend to sound out citizens of Sussex County on how they feel the redistricting should be done, and we cordially invite members of the County Council to attend and to participate in the conversation. The objective of redistricting, as established by the United States and Delaware constitutions, is to make elections fair. To this end, a well-informed public is vital, and the League of Women Voters of Sussex County is dedicated to making that happen. We have information packets for each member of the council, and we will also distribute copies to members of the press. We look forward to seeing some or all of you at one or more of our forums. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question. Have you been to Dover, Legislative Hall? Have you been to Dover, Legislative Hall?
Yes, I have.
Okay. They need to be informed of this. Okay. Thank you.
Well, they're doing pretty well, actually. They need some statements.
Well, you know more than I know about it.
Well, you're not reading right.
And we do not have executive session. Okay. We'll... thank you.
Mr. Bitsky, can I have just a word with you after
this? Sure, you certainly may. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Got it.
So a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
We're back in.